Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. Luke chapter 2, well-known passage at this time of year. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. That must have been quite a night. If anybody was ever inspired to be a shepherd, it would have been great to have been present when that happened. I'm sure all of us, you know, we deplore in many ways the secularization of Christmas and all that, the worldliness that goes on around us. And one of the things that I personally have always been very strict about myself is that in the Christmas cards we send Christmas cards which contain the Christmas message, that we don't descend to the level of the world, but we are proclaiming the truth of what God has done at Christmas time. So if any of you have sent me cards with snowmen and robins and holly and all the rest of it, I do appreciate the love with which they've been sent. Our personal card this year is this one, which just says Jesus, the reason for the season. And in the background is King of Kings, Redeemer, Alpha and Omega, Peace of God, Messiah, Lord of Lords. And the greeting inside is, "May you know the joy and peace at Christmas." And there's a scripture, "You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Of course, if you're sending to Christians, they know this, but why not remind them of these truths? And if you're sending to non-Christian relatives, then it's a point of witness. I know it's a bit late this year to encourage you to buy real Christmas cards. They're not always that available in the shops, but you can always get them online, as we do every year. But in these the various Christian Christmas cards, if you ever want to find them, you just Google Christian Christmas cards, and they will come up, various companies that distribute them. But you've probably seen around and have received Christian Christmas cards, and often they just say Jesus or Savior or joy or peace. They may say a little bit more to us, "The Savior is born," or "Jesus, the Savior of the world," or something like that. But cards try to condense the message into a few words. And Among the most common that you see around are cards that say joy and particularly peace. Now, when the birth of Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah, the scripture says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. And we know that this child that was born in Bethlehem was really born under a shadow. There was a shadow over the whole of his life, the whole of his ministry, because he was born to die. It was the deliberate act of God to cause his son to be born in order to die. Not just die of natural old age, but to make his life a sacrifice. And when we read about that sacrifice, again in the prophecy of Isaiah, we read that the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So he's born Prince of Peace, and he dies in order that we might have that peace. And just before he went to the cross, when he was with the disciples at the Last Supper, peace was his parting gift to them. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Peace such as the world cannot give, my peace I give to you." And so when these angels, not just the angel that proclaimed to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, but this great company that was suddenly appeared and was praising God, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, we are a greatly privileged people because God's favor rests upon us. By his mercy, through his grace, in the wonder of his love, we have come to know him. Now, when you come to know the Lord, that is obviously a work of his grace. It shows that God, out of his love, has caused his favor to shine upon you. But it brings you into the place of peace. In the old days of revival, the question that people used to be asked was not, "Have you been saved?" or "Do you know the Lord?" but "Have you made your peace with God?" That it was recognized that when a person was born again, they were brought into this relationship of peace with God. Peace because all their sins were forgiven. Peace because now they could know they were fully, finally, eternally made acceptable in God's sight. Peace with God. So, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet calls him the Prince of Peace. At the time of his birth, the whole angelic host that appears to the shepherds proclaim that peace is to be made available to all those upon whom God's favor will rest. Before Jesus goes to the cross, peace is his parting gift to his disciples. On the cross, he takes the punishment that we deserve that enables us to know that peace. And so when the risen Christ appears to his disciples, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." Now, this word peace in Scripture is not the absence of conflict. It's not, you know, "Oh, praise God, the kids are gone to bed, now we can get a bit of peace." It means the total well-being that God intends. So he is the Prince of total well-being. And when he appears in his risen body to the disciples and says, "Peace be with them," he's concerned for their total well-being. They're not to be hidden away in fear that they will be the next ones to be arrested and possibly crucified. But no, God is concerned, Jesus is concerned to impart to them that total well-being. So the punishment that made our total well-being possible was laid upon Jesus. And so by his stripes we are saved, we are healed. Hallelujah. Yeah. I thought I'd say that because nobody else did, so at least there's one believer on the platform. I trust there's a few believers out there. Now, this peace is not just about our relationship with God. It has to begin there. And we are all conscious that we have an enemy. And the enemy is the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the first thing that he wants to try to steal, even from believers, is their peace. He will do anything to cause disruption, division, oppression, upset, sickness, whatever, to try to destroy people's peace. He wants to steal that peace. One of the things over the years God has constantly said to me is, "Do not let the enemy steal your peace." And even when things happen to you that you weren't expecting, you don't want, and you even wonder why God has allowed those things in your experience, still it's so important to keep hold of that peace and not to let the enemy rob you. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Sadly, God can even use other believers to steal your peace. The enemy can use them. When there's judgment and criticism and all kinds of things going on, nothing can be calculated to disturb a person's peace more than that. To know that people are saying things about you, thinking things about you, sometimes even untrue things about you. So we certainly don't want to be the voice of negativity to anybody else. So you see, what we see in Scripture is that we are to seek to live at peace as far as it is possible with everybody. That's how Paul puts it, as far as it is possible. So in other words, we are to be sowing peace, not disruption, discord, not criticism, not judgment, but sowing peace. Out of our relationship of peace with God, out of that sense of total well-being that we have with him, we are to be sowing words of peace, of harmony, of forgiveness, of encouragement, seeking the welfare of others, just as God seeks our greatest welfare. You can see how love and peace belong together, because they're very similar in meaning, really. God's love for us means that he wants our highest good. Peace is seeking our welfare as part of that highest good. So that's pretty easy for us to understand, that God wants us walking in a relationship with him whereby we are constantly at peace with him. And it's pretty clear, pretty obvious, that God wants us to be the answer to Jesus' prayer, "Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have loved them and have sent me and have loved them even as you have, as I've loved you." So it's pretty obvious that peace with God needs to be preserved, and to stand against every device of the enemy to undermine that peace. It's also pretty clear that we are to seek to be at peace with others, to forgive whenever that is necessary, to encourage, to build up those relationships of love. We don't want to be in discordant relationships, do we?
No.
And God certainly doesn't want those within his body. But there is another aspect of this peace. Because you see, what Jesus has made possible is for you to be at peace with yourself. And sometimes that's the very thing that is lacking in some believers. We can all look at ourselves and see all kinds of things that are not perfect, that we're not perfectly yet like Jesus. We don't reveal him perfectly in all that we do and all that we say. It's possible for believers to live with a sense of failure, to feel that you fail God. You even fail yourself to live up to the standard that you know would please God, honor him and glorify him. The problem with making New Year's resolutions is that's usually what they are, just resolutions. And we know that what matters is what we do, not what resolutions we make. So, you know, we can lose that sense of peace because we know perhaps there's an area of our lives where there is sin or disobedience, something we've struggled with perhaps for years and years and years, and feel that we haven't overcome. Some area of weakness where it seems that the enemy gets the victory over us time and again, and we have to come back to God time and again and say, "Lord, forgive me." That sense of inadequacy sometimes in our witness in the world, sometimes feeling that there's all kinds of opportunities that we miss where perhaps God could have used us more effectively, powerfully. All these things, to some extent, affect our confidence. Now, we know that our confidence isn't to be in ourselves. Our confidence is to be in God. But, you see, God gives us self-confidence. Are you with me? Not the kind of confidence where we think we're great shakes and we've got it all together and all of that kind of thinking. But the kind of attitude that we have where we know that because our trust is in God and in all that Jesus has done for us, we have peace with him, we can live at peace with others, and we can be at peace with ourselves. Because even when we sin, even when we fail, We have a God who is merciful, slow to anger, and rich in love, God of compassion. And we know that all that doesn't give us liberty to be casual about sin, to be casual about disobedience in our lives. But we must never lose sight of that mercy and of that grace and of that love, because we live in him and he in us. And sometimes, you know, you are in situations where you wonder what is going on. Caroline and I have just come back from holiday for a few days in the sun, and it was sunny. Hallelujah. Although for the first half, I couldn't really have cared too much, because I was suddenly struck down with bronchitis, which, if you've ever had it, you know is, you never ever want to get it again. You know, we were doing everything in the prayer cycle, if you like, standing against this and boom, 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 boom. So last Sunday for me was a breakthrough day, because that's when we really began to get the victory over it. But you're in a situation like this, you know, and you understand an enemy has done this. That, you know, we went away on holiday to have a good rest, and my focus was to spend some time really soaking myself, not only in sun, but soaking myself in the Word. And then I was struck down in such a way where that was just not physically possible. You realize an enemy has done this, and what the enemy wants to do more than anything is to steal your peace. Caroline said, for 3 days I stopped singing. I can believe that. But, you know, the peace and the joy go together, don't they? And you're struggling to maintain the peace, and you're standing against the enemy and all that he's doing to try to rob you of your peace. And you realize, wait a minute, what's happened to the joy? Because we're rejoicing in the Lord always, and we're giving thanks in all circumstances. But you see, sometimes we go through these experiences, but we come out on top. He always leads us in his triumphant procession. The thing never ends in failure. It never ends in defeat. It always ends in victory. So we praise the Lord for that. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, I had some medication which helped in the whole process, let me tell you. But we know that it's what God is working in us. And you know, you have a course of antibiotics, you're supposed to finish the course even when you feel better. And so I was feeling better, and I said to Caroline, I don't know whether I need to carry. And we said, oh, yes, you finish the whole course. And God said to me, there's a spiritual parallel here. That sometimes you can come through something spiritually where, you know, you've had to really contend, you've had to fight, you've had to stand on the Word of God, you've had to call upon the Spirit to enable you, and you begin to break through and you feel better and you feel things are back on song. And then the Lord says, yeah, but finish the course. Let me do in you all the deep things that I want to do. Let this be an opportunity, you know, for transformation, for change, whatever it is in the context of what is going on in your life. Let me do the whole work. Just because you feel better, don't ease off the spiritual accelerator, but keep moving forward with me. And, you know, God often shows me the parallels that there are between the physical things and the things that are going on in our experience day by day and what he is doing spiritually. So, I trust you're going to have a peaceful Christmas.
Amen.
A Christmas full of peace. Full of peace with God. Full of peace with one another. Including all the relatives that you only see once a year. Oh, boy. That's the greatest challenge for some people, the relatives they have to see every Christmas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, but also to know this peace with yourself. I am, through his mercy, through his grace, totally loved. I am, by his mercy and grace, totally forgiven. I am, by his mercy and grace, totally accepted.
Amen.
I am, by his mercy and grace, made one with him. He is my holiness. He is my righteousness. He is my redemption. He is my perfection. He is my salvation. I am, by God's word, complete in him.
Amen.
Knowing that, believing that, living that enables you to be at peace with God, with others, with yourself. Jesus is the reason for this season.
Amen.
And it is a season where peace, the peace of God, comes upon all upon whom his favor rests. Let's all stand, shall we, and thank the Lord. Thank him for that peace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son as the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, that the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. Thank you that every one of us in this room can know that peace with you. That you don't judge us. You don't condemn us. You don't even criticize us to others. But you hold out your peace to us every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that as you stood among those disciples in your risen body, so you are among us in this room in your risen spirit. And you're saying to every one of us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Such as the world cannot give, do I give to you. My peace I give to you. So, Lord, we thank you for that peace. We thank you for that precious gift. Thank you that we can live with you, walk with you, in your peace, day by day. Thank you that we have made our peace with God. And thank you, Lord, that you have made us the children of that peace. Now, Father, we realize that you want us to live at peace with others. If there's any lack of peace in our hearts towards anybody, I pray that right now you will let the convicting power of your Spirit just open up those things, bring them to the surface, so we may lay them before you now. So that, Lord, we can have that attitude of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of peace, of everything that is positive towards the other people involved in those situations. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that every one of us in this room can be at peace with ourselves. Lord, if we failed you in any way, thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness. If we've grieved you in any way, thank you, Lord, that your blood washes away, has atoned for us, so that we can become a people that don't grieve you, but rather please you. So we give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you that you suffered shame when you went to the cross, that we might not live with a sense of shame. Thank you, Lord, that all the things that we would be ashamed of, you have forgiven. And thank you, Lord, that we live in peace, not with a sense of shame. Thank you, Lord, we can live at peace, not with a sense of failure or frustration. Thank you that all the failures of the past are behind us. And thank you that a glorious new future awaits us. We bless you, Lord. Just continue in prayer for a moment. I trust that you're working your way through The Lord's Orchard. This is not a book just to read superficially, is it? You need to work it through section by section in your life. I had to do that as I was writing it, but I'm going through it all again now that it's published. And, you know, the more often you go through a thing like this, the deeper God is able to impact your life. I'm just going to read a section. I just want you to pray as you hear this from what it means to be a people living in the peace of God. As you sow your life in loving obedience to Jesus, you reap the blessings of his peace. Each of the qualities of his love cultivates this peace. Walking by faith, trusting in his love, brings peace. Walking in his holiness and righteousness brings peace. Walking humbly before God and others brings peace. Forgiving others, being merciful, and refusing to keep a record of wrongs done to you brings peace. Persevering in the will of God brings peace. God's government in your life brings peace. To live in Christ is to live in his peace. And to cooperate with him in his reformation purposes will bring a greater revelation and experience of his peace in your life. The closer you walk to Jesus, the greater your peace. The God of peace equips you in every way necessary to do his will according to the scripture. And he knows that this will pave the way for being able to enjoy eternal peace with him. And the key question at the end of that section is, are you living at peace with God, with yourself, and with others, as far as this is possible? So let's just give the Lord a great big thank you for that peace. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We bless your name. Amen. So have a joyful and peaceful Christmas. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.